WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A few minutes ago, Linda Lovelace was with us, and we were talking in part about her feelings about pornography and prostitution. With me now are two women who work with the group COYOTE, which stands for Call Off Your Old Tired Ethics, and it's a group for the decriminalization of prostitution and a group that supports prostitutes' rights. My guests are Selma James and Wilmette Brown. They are also both leaders of the Wages for Housework movement. Selma James is the founder of the International Wages for Housework campaign and the author of the book The Power of Women and the Subversion of the Community. As the spokesperson for the English Collective of Prostitutes, Selma James introduced the Bill for the Protection of Prostitutes into the British Parliament. She lives in England, where she makes her living as a typist. Wilmette Brown is the co-founder of Black Women for Wages for Housework. Both Wilmette Brown and Selma James will be speaking tonight at 7 on the Rutgers Camden campus. This will be in the second floor student lounge of the Rutgers Law School, which is on 5th and Penn Streets. The subject this evening is Families in 1980, Women Speak Out. And I'll give the phone numbers in a few minutes if you'd like to call for any more information about these talks this evening. Well, Matt, Selma, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we speak about wages for housework and what that means and what your proposals are, I'd like to talk a little bit about your views of prostitution, since we were just talking about that with Linda Lovelace. When you talk about prostitutes' rights, what are the rights that you're talking about?
Well, the first right is for a woman to make her living in whatever way she wants. That is right number one. And to do what she wants with her body, which is right number two. And that can't be separated. Because most prostitute women are mothers who are supporting their children. And we know that women don't get paid for work in the home. We get very low wages, about 57% of the wage of men when we work outside the home. And so prostitution is an option that more and more women are taking because we don't want to be poor. So the idea that a prostitute woman is illegal because she does take her rights to have money for sexual services and her right to get paid a reasonable and decent wage for her work, we think is most unreasonable, and we want the laws, all the laws against prostitutes, to be abolished. That's fundamentally our case. Now, Linda Lovelace was speaking about pornography, and we're not so interested in abolishing pornography because to draw the line between Ava Gardner or Rita Hayworth or any of the present movie stars in a state of semi-undress, which is perfectly legitimate, and semi-undress or full undress in a magazine is another line which is very hard to draw. We're concerned with all women in the sex industry and the kind of exploitation that Linda Marciano was describing when you were interviewing her, because we're not getting the rate for the job. We're not even getting the rate for the job when they kill us, if you know what I mean. I mean, literally or figuratively. And we're very much opposed to snuff movies in general. And we don't consider that violence against women is any different in pornography or, for example, rape in marriage. Let's abolish rape in marriage, which is certainly much worse than pornography. We're against violence against women, which of course includes women going into the army, because that's a violence against women.
But you separate violence against women when it's really committed and... Let me put it to you this way. Say there's a movie which depicts violence against women, but the violence against this woman is simulated, and say she was interested in having the part for the money she'd get for it. That's a kind of weird line. Where would you be on...
I think it's really a question of getting to the root of women's lack of financial independence, and all that has been said about women in general and the disadvantages we face is true in particular for Black women. So that in the area of prostitution, for example, the racism that comes out in terms of the numbers of prostitutes who remain in jail being disproportionately Black and other third world women, is clearly a function of the economic discrimination that we face in the first place with the least options, whether it's teenage Black women who have the highest unemployment rate or older Black women who have, all kinds of disadvantages in terms of getting a job or being on welfare, and prostitution being really the only way to feed our kids. You know, so that unless we're dealing with what it is that keeps us financially dependent and financially deprived, poor, you know, we're not really dealing with the root of the violence, whether it's the, you know, what is acceptable, you know, what is acceptable as violence, you know, whether it's in pornography or whatever, or the more subtle forms of violence that women face.
In trying to contend with problems like rape, which is a threat to every woman, women are trying to figure out what are some of the roots of the rape. What are the causes? Can we attribute some of it to pornography or not? And if we cut out pornography, would that cut down on rape? Is pornography a real cause, or is it a red herring?
This
right
is
now?
What this is exactly as the issue has presented to us has been presented to us in Britain, and it's not pornography that causes rape. It is violence in pornography that is an expression of the rape that all of us either fear or actually undergo. And the fact is that we are on the game as prostitute women. We are in pornography, as we are strippers, and we are factory workers where the foreman puts his hand all over us, and we are wives who are battered because we are without money and have to put ourselves in a vulnerable position continually. I mean, even the idea of the government cutting back on street lighting, you know, and making it more difficult for a woman to walk in the street is an expression of the kind of rape that we suffer from government agencies, from legislators, from individual men, from a society that doesn't care if we're poor and doesn't care about the consequences. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't even say doesn't care. Very glad about the consequences of having a very cheap labor force outside of the home, a free labor force inside of the home, and women at the disposal of men generally.
Recently, in the hearings that are going on now on sexual harassment in the armed forces, I heard a woman testify that she has received more sexual harassment in the Army, as an Army officer or whatever, than she did when she was a nude go-go dancer. And I think that really says it.
I think also, you know, a number of prostitute women who are members of the English Collective and other prostitutes organizations have said that because they have the money, in some respects, they're safer than other women because they can take a taxi when there are no buses and they can put enough locks on their door and they can live in a little better neighborhood where you're not threatened with mugging or with other kinds of violence as much as in some other neighborhoods. So that the money really is a way out. And many prostitute women feel that that's the way out that they take. Also, they feel, and there's a lot of evidence for this, that in relation to individual men, men treat you a little better if you put a price tag on yourself and say, listen, I'm worth something, you know. And the proof that I'm worth something is that you're going to pay me when this thing is over.
I'd like to get back to pornography for a minute because it's a really important issue in the women's community now. Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, would you want to see pornography banned, or do you want to see some kind of controls within the sex industry to prevent victimization within it? Like, what would your interest be?
My interest is in women having the power to refuse violence, to refuse any kind of job that we don't want to do. I think that really is the root of the issue. I'm very suspicious and against, really, any kind of legal restriction, censorship, banning, any of these kinds of things, which can be a lever for further restrictions, really, on women and the root of further divisions among women. I don't think that gets to it at all. I think that it's fundamentally a question of women having the economic independence to be able to refuse a whole series of jobs and to be able to have the independence to leave any kind of situation where we are facing rape, battering, child abuse or whatever. And I think it does extend as much to adult women as it does to children, you know, that children are also working and entitled to some kind of financial independence.
Linda described here before a series of years of victimization where she was forced into prostitution and forced into X-rated movies because of these horrible experiences that she had. She would like to see pornography limited or banned. Mm-hmm. What would you say to her? Because that her feelings about that are based on atrocities that were done to her.
I'd say that I would like to see more and more organization of women in the sex industry, as in every other industry, to prevent employers from the excesses which employers will take whenever they possibly can, whatever industry you're talking about. The kind of things that go on in sweatshops, sexually I'm talking about, the kind of molestation of women, the kind of forced rape in order to keep your job. We have some experience of that in Britain. We've been working with women who have been on strike as a result of the fact that the employer would not give them their wage raise unless the women slept with him. So that there isn't too much difference, it seems to me, from one industry to another. They're all out to exploit us, and we're all out not to be exploited. And I think the separation of the sex industry from other industries hides just how much those industries overlap one with the other. When large multinational corporations want to entertain their guests, they call on the sex industry as part of their entertainment for their foreign guests in order to get this contract or that contract. So that I don't make any distinction between the head of General Motors and the head pimp in New York. They're both doing the same thing as far as women are concerned.
I'm sure a lot of women would say, well, one difference in the sex industry is that pornography and prostitution perpetuates the idea in society that women are there to be receptacles, mm-hmm. sexual receptacles for men. So how would you respond to that, both in terms of pornography and prostitution?
I think that, again, pornography and prostitution and so on are reflections of how the world is basically organized. A lot of people have been fighting, a lot of mothers, for example, have been organizing about what goes on the television generally and the kinds of images and tastes and so on that are projected to children day in and day out. You know, so that, again, to draw these kinds of fine distinctions is really to hide how all pervasive throughout the society, throughout all the institutions, and through every medium is the violence against women and the degradation of women generally. And also to focus on, the sexual violence is really to hide, again, just how all pervasive the different forms of violence are, you know, and... I just can't accept that kind of ghettoization, in a sense, of the issue. And we're not also going to be able to solve the problem in that way, because we're talking about really turning a whole lot of things around if we're going to get to the question of the violence against women and the sexploitation. We've got to talk about a total transformation, really.
And we have to really begin at home, because there is no way that you're going to find out what's happening in a movie theater if you don't know what's happening in the family. I mean, you see an ad on television where the woman is absolutely devastated because her husband has a ring around the collar. Now, that is really, to me, is an insult, because if my whole life is revolving around the ring around my husband's collar, that describes what society wants me to do, which is to be its slave. I mean, to be its sexual slave, to be its housework slave, to be its slave on assembly lines and in offices. So that, I mean, we, as Wilmette has said, we can't make these distinctions, because all it does is divide one woman from another, which is the most dangerous thing of all.
Selma, you're the spokesperson for a British collective of prostitutes.
Yes.
How sympathetic have you found women who are prostitutes in Britain to be to the feminist analysis that you're putting on the trade?
Well, I don't know that what we're saying is the only view of the... there are some feminists whom we've had to fight. I mean, I have the same position as Linda Lovelace about who are the feminists, who are not. I certainly consider myself to be one, and I certainly consider every prostitute woman to be my sister, because I'm married, and I know that a great element of my marriage, whether I like it or not, is that my husband has some money, which I don't have and which I want to be attached to. And I think every woman feels that very deeply in her heart, who is a married woman. So prostitute women have known this all the time. And when you say this to them, they say, oh, yes, I know that. I know what I got in marriage, and that's why I left, and that's why I'm on the game. Some women will say that. So that the question of feminism, if it's defined as women trying to get out from under, and get out from dependence, prostitute women are the first people to say so. I was not long ago on a television program with some prostitute women and they were offering legalization, that is, brothels run by the government in Britain. And they said, no way, we're not going into brothels. And not only that, but the television producer must pay us for everything we do, because one thing we know, we won't do any work for free. Now, that's the biggest feminist demand of all, as far as I'm concerned, because that's exactly how I feel about my housework.
Have you found, though, I guess you have found, and I think you're right, that the word, I'm sorry I use the word feminist here, because I'm sure that
it's such a confusing word.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of women differ in their stand on this, so it would be unfair to put any single political analysis on it. But you are giving a broad analysis to it. You're taking it out of the perspective of what one individual does and putting it into a larger context and giving it a political analysis. Well, Matt, what kind of receptivity have you found to that amongst prostitutes who, you know, maybe not, are used to thinking of their work in terms of a broad political analysis? You're talking about, you know, connections to General Motors and to, you know, other corporations. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people think in those terms.
Well, I think that I've found that prostitute women are really much more realistic in a sense, because the fact that that they are charging for their sexual services gives, first of all, the financial independence, gives a kind of control over their time. I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, making $60 an hour as a pro, you know, and making maybe $8 or $10 an hour, you know, and what kind of control you have over your time and how you're able to structure your day and what kind of time you can afford to have with your children or time you can afford to take to try to make a personal life, you know, so that many prostitute women you'll find are lesbian women who are using the money that they make from sleeping with men in order to try to build a life with another woman, to build a personal life with another woman, whereas you'll find other lesbian women who are working at straight jobs really have a tough time of it trying to make it on women's wages at 59 cents of the dollar, right? So that there's a certain realism, you know, that seeing the relationship in terms of a cash deal really, really affords. And I think that as far as General Motors, when you get to the top echelons of prostitute women, they're in a position to tell us that the money which the corporations say is not there for the kinds of social programs, the kinds of social services that we are demanding. When they tell us that money isn't there, prostitute women at the top echelons are able to tell us that money is there because they have seen it. And they've seen these men who run these corporations in a position to take out a fat bankroll and roll off a few, you know, a few bills in order to pay for some sexual services, in order to pay for some pleasure. But when it comes time to meet the human needs in the society, they say that the money isn't there and turn around and tax us to provide for our own services. So that it's not at all. Prostitute women are in a position to teach us a lot, to teach other women a whole lot about how the world really works, I think, and how to organize.
And I think a lot of those corporation heads also hide from their own wives how much money there is. And that's been a very big link that we've made in Britain between corporation wives and prostitute women, because they're both working for the same man.